1 Kings chapter 19. And just some things were bumping around inside my brain that I wanted to mention here before we get started. So let me see if I can remember some of those. Please remember to pray for Marv Hagans. I have not heard how he's been doing since the surgery, but it was quite an extensive surgery, 7 hours long, but we haven't heard word since how he's doing. So please keep him in prayer. Also, I was thinking of the Buckners. Please pray for Jim and Debbie. Jim was sick. I don't know about Debbie's situation, but Jim was sick pretty bad. I haven't heard for several days how he's coming along. So please pray for the Buckners also. Mrs. Randler recently had surgery, so pray for her. Many spiritual needs, though, as well in the congregation, so be praying for those. Be praying for moving forward as a church and praying for outreach opportunities and witnessing and neighbors and top five and all that. Keep those things in prayer as well. Be praying for youth leaders. God's going to do that soon, I believe. So let's be praying, continue to be faithful, praying for that. All right, some other things I wanted to mention. Let's see. If you're visiting today, I thank you for coming, and we would like to be able to stay in touch with you. You may not want to share your email or your phone number, but I would appreciate if you would give that information to us. We won't send you spam. We won't bother you. But if there's a need to get in touch with you in the coming weeks or something, we would like to be able to reach out to you and see how you're doing. And so I would encourage you, if you wouldn't mind, there's a blue piece of paper in the pew in front of you, and you can just hand that to me or one of the deacon, the ushers or something as you're going out. If you would give us some contact information to stay in touch with you, that would be wonderful. So I encourage you to do that. All right, let's go ahead, and we're already at 1 Kings chapter 19, I believe. And let's get into the Word of God this morning. 1 Kings chapter 19 is a passage in the Bible where we see a faithful man of God struggling. A prophet named Elijah, who had been doing great things for the glory of God, but in chapter 19, he was a little discouraged, maybe a lot discouraged. And we find ourselves in similar situations in life. But to get more context about this story, this story that happened many years ago and truly took place, we need to look back at, I would say, chapter 18 of 1 Kings. So if you're here visiting and maybe you're not quite as familiar with the Bible, there is a Bible in the pew in front of you, and to find the book of 1 Kings, you could look in the index in the front and then find chapter 19. But we're talking about chapter 18 here just for a moment to remind ourselves of what was taking place here in this account of many years ago. And so, of course, you had the nation of Israel. And during these years of the prophets, we would call them, the nation of Israel was a very idolatrous nation. They had a king named Ahab. And Ahab was not a good king. He was not following the one true God. He was following much of what his wife, the queen Jezebel, pushed upon him and wanted him to do. And he happily went along with it. So they were an idolatrous nation, and they were serving a false god named Baal. And like I said, Jezebel was very much, "We'll answer your prayers. And then after you have your turn, then I will take my turn, and we'll see if Jehovah God will answer my prayers by fire and consume the burnt sacrifice." And so that's what they did. He said to the prophets of Baal, "You go first." And all the prophets of Baal got into their thing, and they were calling on Baal, "Oh, Baal, hear us." You remember the story how Elijah started poking a little fun at them and saying, "Come on, doesn't Baal hear you?" And the fire was not falling, and it continued on, and these guys got more and more serious and into their worship ceremony, but there was silence. And then Elijah finally said, "Enough. And he got his sacrifice together. He prepared everything. And he prayed a little prayer to the God of the universe. He said, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." And the fire of the Lord fell from heaven, consumed the burnt sacrifice, burn up the wood, the stones, burn up the water. We won't get into all that, but the water that it was all drenched in and in the trench roundabout completely destroyed the thing. That was the power of Jehovah God. And it was on display there on top of Mount Carmel. All the people saw it and they said, "The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God." And there was a great victory won for the glory of Jehovah God. But into chapter 19, we see a very different situation. Elijah is struggling now. He had just received a death threat from Jezebel, the queen. And he was running for his life. Now, running for your life is not always a bad choice. Sometimes there's some common sense there. But Elijah, I believe, could have stayed right where he was at, and God would have protected him. I don't know what the right decision necessarily would have been, but God was going to continue to take care of Elijah, and we know that. Now, it's possible Elijah made a wrong choice here, and he decided, "I'm going to run, and I'm going to get away from here." I would argue that he made some other decisions that were questionable, and maybe not the right way for him to go, but nonetheless, we find him in chapter 19 running for his life, and we see God taking that decision and using it for good. We see God taking Elijah here in chapter 19 and getting him alone and showing his power and showing his glory to Elijah again and teaching him some valuable lessons about what to do when you're in a time just like this yourself. So Elijah had a choice to make. Either he would stay in this place of defeat, this place of discouragement, this place of chapter 19, this place of hopelessness, or he would accept the truths that God was trying to show him in chapter 19 and go and act upon them. And I want to challenge Faith Bible Church this morning, especially those of you who attend here regularly. We have come through some interesting weeks in the last 3, 4, 5 weeks, haven't we? It's a lot different around here right now because of the sickness that's kind of gone through. And it's no secret, Pastor Sean and I, we have visions for the future. We have things we want to get done for the glory of God. We have dreams that we want to see unfold as we are praying for, and you're praying with us for those things. And it could be discouraging right now if you look at reality and forget God. But just like Elijah had to do here, we have to do here at Faith Bible Church. We need to accept the truths of God's word this morning and act upon them. There are things that God wants us to do in the near future, Faith Bible Church. And I trust that you're going to be all in. We have to accept the truths of God that he is trying to show us even this morning and act upon them. Notice here in 1 Kings chapter 19, let's take the time to read parts of this, the first, 20 verses maybe, we'll see here, so we can get some context of the passage we're dealing with today. Look at verse 1. It says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done." This was up on Mount Carmel in chapter 18. "Withal, how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them, by tomorrow about this time." There was the death threat. "And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him. And he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thine covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. And he said, This is God speaking. Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. Now let's pause there, or stop there rather. That's our text. Notice that when Elijah got to Horeb, the Mount of God, that God began to interact with him there. And twice God questioned, What doest thou here, Elijah? Twice God patiently put up with the prophet's pity party. I'm the only one left. And they seek my life to take it away. And finally, God said, Go. Return on thy way. In other words, Elijah, it's time to get up. It's time to go back. It's time to return to where you're supposed to be and move forward with my plan for your life. And it was time for him to rise up from defeat. It was time for him to press forward in the work that God had called him to do. And that's exactly what the next verses hold after God said, Go, return on thy way. It was the work that God had called him to do. It was, I want you to go and find this person. I want you to do this with them. I want you to go and find this person. I want you to do that with them. And it was the next steps that Elijah was supposed to take to move forward for God. Faith Bible Church, I would like us to consider the next steps that God would have us to take to move forward for him. I may not be specific in what those steps should be, but you know the heart of Pastor Sean. You know some of the visions that we would love to see God do in our midst. It's time to go, return on thy way, and obey. Go, return on thy way, and obey. And if you're taking notes, that's the title to this message. Go, return on thy way, and obey. You see, the time has come for us to go and return on our way. The time has come for us to trust and obey our God. And I want you to receive the truths of God this morning and set out to obey them in your life. If you are going to do that, though, in your life, friend, then you must choose to depend upon several different truths today. Number one, you must choose to depend upon, the truth of God's provision. The truth of God's provision in your life. Notice verses 5 through 8 in our passage. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 5 through 8. Here we see that Elijah lay down and slept under this juniper tree. And rightly so, understandably so. He was tired. He was worn out. He was physically, he had been giving everything on top of Mount Carmel. He had run ahead of a chariot all the way back to the city of Jezreel. This guy was putting forth a lot of physical energy. But it wasn't just physical energy. It was emotional energy, spiritual energy. This guy needed a break. And he took it under a juniper tree. And an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat," the Bible says. And he looked, and there was a cake ready to eat. There was a cruse of water, and he took it. He took in the nourishment that he needed, and then went back to sleep. Sounds like a pretty good day, huh? It wasn't, though, for him. And I don't want to do that all day either. But he got fed and went back to sleep. But then woke up again later and needed more nourishment and did it again. He ate and drank and then went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. You see, God nourished Elijah. God provided Elijah with what he needed to do the will of God. There were things coming up very shortly in Elijah's life that he needed this nourishment for. There were assignments soon to be given, and God took care of Elijah. And I want you to understand today that God takes care of his people as well. God will provide your needs. He will give you what you need in this life. Now, the interesting thing about that truth in the Word of God, "But my God shall supply all your needs," the Bible says. The interesting thing about that is, what's a need? You ever struggle with that question? I have. There's been times when I've thought that I've needed something, and the need, the answer to that need, has not come. What is a need? I still have yet to figure that out in some cases. How about you? But I have a promise from Almighty God that He will supply what I need. And you know what? As I look back in life, every single time I realize God carried me through that situation. He did provide what I needed. Maybe even I still disagree with a few of the things, but God still got me to this point today. And He keeps His word. He does not let us down. He is faithful. It's just a matter of me recalibrating my thinking, of me aligning my heart with His, my will with His, and being faithful in trusting and obeying. Because God promises to provide our needs. And He did that here for Elijah. He provided the nourishment that he needed to go and do the will of God. Friend, you can count on it. Whatever God calls you to do in this life, He will provide you with everything you need to do it. Everything. It may be witnessing to your neighbor. God will provide you the words to say to your neighbor if you will simply open your mouth and be obedient. It may be a financial need. God will take care of your finances if you will trust Him with your finances. You say, "Well, God's not providing for me." Well, are you willing to give to others as God calls you to? If you're trying to hold on to every single dollar and you're not willing to let go and trust God with your money, then you're not going to find things working out fluidly. You need to trust God and obey Him. It may be a health thing. God will provide the health that you need. You say, "Well, my health isn't very good right now." So is God being faithful? Yes, He is, because He is working a perfect plan. God will provide all of our needs. Even when we may be tempted to think, "I don't know if I believe that right now." God will still be faithful. God promises to provide. One way that God provides specifically that I want to focus in on here today is the provision of the Word of God. God will take care of our physical needs. He will take care of us in many, many different ways. But do you realize specifically today how God has provided your needs with truth. You need truth in life. You need to know what to believe. And God has given us a book to teach us everything that we need to know to believe. God has given us a book to teach us everything we need to know about Him, everything we need to know about life, where it came from, where it's going. The answers are right here. You have to choose to believe it, though. And you see, that's an interesting thing about life and some of the major questions of life. You have to accept the answers by faith. No matter which way you go, you have to accept the answers by faith. You may have been taught that humans came from monkeys. You know what? If you want to believe that, you can. But you have to accept that answer by faith. I would recommend you take a look at what the truth says here in the Bible. What God has written down there for humans to learn and understand. I would recommend that you look there and you choose to believe what that says instead. But that's my opinion. How about you search it for yourself? Either way, you have to accept it by faith. And so God has given us the truths that we need to know. He's given us this book. He's provided us with the nourishment that we need to live this life. It's all right here. And the Bible says in Psalm 119, verses 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Let me ask you, friend, are you allowing this book to be a light to your life? Are you allowing it to be a lamp to your feet so you can see as you navigate through the decisions of life? You see, one of the best decisions I believe a person can make in life is to come to this book, to choose to believe it's true, and to just accept what it says and to live by it. God blesses that when we come to Him by faith. And in fact, the book of Hebrews says it is impossible to please God without faith. That's the way He designed it. That's the way He intends for people to come to Him, by faith. And one of the best decisions a person can do is to say, I am going to learn what God has to say. I'm going to go to this book. I'm going to accept what it says by faith. And I'm going to just simply trust and obey. I'm going to let this book be a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. There's many people today that would rather look to government to be a lamp to their feet and a light to their path. Don't do that. God can provide for us. God can lead us, and He can guide us through to where we come out on the other side, on the right way. There's a lot of people that want to look to government. There's a lot of people that want to look to man's wisdom. The Bible says, "Lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." That's what this book says. And so let God provide truth for you. Let the Bible be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Let this be the filter that you take all your decisions through, the Bible. That's one thing that we try to help us here at Faith Bible Church understand, that this book needs to be our ultimate authority because it's what God said. God needs to be our ultimate authority because ultimately we are accountable to Him. Everyone, everything is accountable to Almighty God. And so let this book be a light unto your feet, a lamp unto your path. Let it be your guide. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, how God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You see, God has provided this book for us, and in it is everything we need to know for life and godliness. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You see, this book, it says, is from God Himself. He breathed it, you could say. He spoke it. That's what inspiration means. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that's complete,
thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So you want to know what is good? What is a good work? You want to know how to live? This book teaches you that. Let it be that lamp unto your feet and that light unto your path. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is quick." That means it's alive and it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You say, well, what's all that talking about? Well, it's giving an illustration about a two-edged sword and what and the power that a two-edged sword could have in battle. And the Word of God is like that two-edged sword, and it can cut into the soul. It can shed light upon the thoughts and the intents of an individual's heart and reveal to yourself who you really are. That's the power of this Word. That's the power of the Bible, and God has provided it for us. Recently, I really saw that God's provision through His Word for me. It was exciting. Just a few days ago, Pastor and I were thinking through some things with kind of trying to get back to normal here, and we were going to be speaking with the deacons and getting some thoughts from them. And just that morning, I was going through my audio Bible on my computer and organizing some things, and it was so neat to see the Word of God be practical for me that day. And here's what happened. I just randomly clicked on Leviticus 13 because I thought, while I'm doing some organizing, I kind of wonder what the law of Moses would be saying. In Leviticus 13, I noticed it was one of the longest tracks in the book of Leviticus. And so I just started it playing while I was doing some work, and I was listening to it. And you know what it was talking about? Leviticus chapter 13 was talking about leprosy, a disease. And it was talking about what they were supposed to do if they had leprosy to determine if it was gone out of their system and if they could then return to normal life. And I thought, well, isn't that neat? The Word of God teaches about having a disease, coming out of quarantine, and getting back to normal. And I thought, I think we're going to be having a meeting talking about some of those very things. And you know what I saw in Leviticus 13 as I was just listening to it, doing my work? I saw two principles. I saw that there's a principle of waiting and evaluating. I saw there's a principle of consulting with your spiritual leader and allowing God to use that person to help you understand better what would be prudent, what would be wise. And I thought, that is neat. That is God taking His Word and providing for me what I need to help me make decisions. And God will do the same thing for you if you're in His Word. Now, mine was real simple. I just simply clicked. But God led me to click that day. And your decision to be in His Word may be to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. If you have to be at work at a certain time, you have to choose, okay, I want God to lead me today, so I'm going to get up and I'm going to open my Bible. Clicking, opening, whatever it is. But you are making the choice, I am going to let God provide for my life through His Word. I see the value here that it is. I see the wisdom, and I want to know that wisdom. And as we make that choice, God will show His power to nourish us through His Word. So, to return on our way, to do as God instructed Elijah here in his time of need, we must depend upon, number one, the truth of God's provision. But number two, notice here in 1 Kings chapter 19, the truth of God's power. So once again, in review, Elijah was in a struggling time in his life. He felt defeated, he felt discouraged, he was running, and God led him to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. And there God began to reveal His power to Elijah. And Elijah had to make the choice to depend upon that truth. We see here that the the Mount of God, Mount Horeb is called in this passage, is in fact the very same Mount Sinai that you find in other places in the Bible. Mount Sinai. Now, do you remember what happened on Mount Sinai? It was a very important place. Mount Sinai was where God gave his law to Moses and to the nation of Israel. Mount Sinai was a place where God had shown his power on display. The whole top of the mountain was on fire. You could look back at Exodus and some of these previous passages in the Bible, and you could see the significance of Mount Sinai. Truly, maybe there's no other place on the planet Earth where more power of God was displayed. Okay, you can maybe argue the tomb, all right, the empty tomb. You could maybe argue on top of Carmel or Calvary. You could maybe argue the Red Sea crossing or in the land of Egypt. You could argue for some other places, but here Mount Sinai was a place where God's power, not just once, but multiple times, was on display for all to see. And once again, God was going to use this place to show his power to the prophet Elijah. Verses 11 through 12. You see how God said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord." So first we see that there was a strong wind that God sent. And it was a wind that whipped all around the mountain, and Elijah was there, somehow concealed, safe, watching rocks being ripped apart by the power of God in a wind. And then after that, you read about the earthquake, and I'm sure he felt the ground shaking, maybe feared for his life, I don't know. But clearly and powerfully, God was showing his strength. But then after that, the fire. I don't know what that was like. Was it lightning? Was it balls of fire? Was it one gigantic firestorm swirling around the mountain? I don't know, but it was the power of God clearly on display. And then I love how the fourth thing mentioned is the still small voice. And here's what I get out of this. God is able to show his great power and his strength in the earthquake and the wind and the fire and control it all, because he can bring it all back to a little small voice. Do you understand that God's power is in complete control of your life and everything going on? You may look at this politician or that politician and say, "This is a crazy world we're living in. And I don't know how that person ever got where they are, and I can't condemn it enough what they're doing." God is in complete control. You may look at a health situation and say, there was problems here, and this doctor doesn't understand, and this isn't going right, and hey, I'm concerned for life. I feel like it's ready to slip through the fingers. God is in control. You may look at this situation and that situation, but understand, God, who can send a wind, God, who can send an earthquake and a fire and show the majesty of his power, is in complete control, and he can speak in a still small voice the next moment. He's not out of control. He's not starting that fire and then can't put it out. No, God is in complete control. And that's a truth that you must choose to depend upon if you're going to go and return on your way and obey. The truth of God's power. Understand this morning that only the power of God can provide us with the victory. We may try and try and try in our own strength, but it will not get us the victory, friends. Only the power of God. And I want to specifically apply to this, maybe to the area of temptations. Maybe in your personal life, you struggle in a particular area. Not maybe, we all do, right? Okay, we all have the battles that the devil is trying to get us with every single day that are weak points for us. He's been watching us very keenly, very closely, and he is attacking us on a regular basis. He wants to destroy anything good in our lives. And so the temptations that each of us face, we may try and try and try to not give in. We may try and try and try to gain a victory. We may try and try and try to do right. But friends, if we are depending upon our own strength for that victory, we will not gain it. You say, well, Brother Dan, I did pretty good this last week. Well, if you did it in your own strength, let me say this. You may see a little bit of good, but it's false hope. You may see a little bit of what you would say is victory, but if you're gaining it in your own strength, the Bible says, watch out. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Because you can only go so long in your own strength. And eventually, you will fail. But every single time you depend upon the power of God to carry you through, God will never fail. And so when we fail, it's because we stop trusting God. That's what it boils down to every single time. It's without faith that that it's impossible to please Him. We've got to depend upon Him. It's got to be a life of faith that you're living. It's got to be a trust in God's power and not your own. Only the power of God can provide you with the victory. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You see, we have the ability to boldly come before God as His children to obtain mercy and grace in a time of need. Grace, you could say, is divine enablement. That is God's strength for you to gain the victory. John chapter 15, verses 4 through 5. It says, "Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." Get this, "for without me ye can do nothing." That was Jesus teaching the people there that day. They needed God. They needed God's strength. We need Jesus. He's the answer. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." You see, it's only through Christ that we can gain victory. Psalm 37, verse 3, it says, "Trust in the Lord and do good." See, they go right together. Trusting in the Lord and doing good. It's trusting in the Lord that enables you to do good. You see, it is the power of God that can change a heart, friend. It is the power of God that can provide you your needs. It is the power of God that is able to control all things. And so would you depend upon that truth today to bring you through that time where you're saying, the things just don't seem to be going right? Would you depend upon the truth of God's provision in your life when you're looking at a situation that seems like it's hopeless? Would you accept these truths and go and obey God? Only the power of God can provide us with the victory. And I want you to understand that that is where it all starts in the Christian life. It's the saving power of God that is able to take a soul that is on its way to spend an eternity separated from God in hell, and to take that soul, to forgive, and to put that person on a new path that leads to heaven someday. Now understand what I'm saying there. God, in His power and in His love, has provided a way that every soul, every individual, can have their sins forgiven and spend eternity with God in heaven. And the Bible teaches us that it was the love of God that He loved this world so much that He gave Himself in the place of you, we could say, in the place of the world. Now, the Bible teaches us that the only way a person can have their sins forgiven is through trusting in Jesus Christ. Let me explain some of these things. So, clearly, the Bible teaches us that we're all sinners, We've all done things that are wrong. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it also teaches us in the Bible that the wages of sin is death. And so people die because they're sinners. That's what you earn for being a sinner. It's death. Now, death is understood in the Word of God as, of course, physical death, but then what we could call spiritual death as well. As I mentioned, a soul being separated from God for all of eternity. That is the just punishment for a sinner. Being separated from God for all of eternity in a place called hell. That was not made for you. It was made for the devil and his angels, the Bible teaches. Now, that is a terrible news, but it doesn't end there, because it says the gift of God is eternal life. So you could earn death by being a sinner. You do. Naturally, that's what we all earn. But God is offering a gift of eternal life, and it's through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16, the most familiar verse probably in the Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, it was the power of God on Mount Calvary that overcame death, overcame sin. When Jesus died in the place of you, when he took the sins of the entire world upon himself and paid the punishment for them, it was the power of God that brought him back to life, as the Bible teaches happened on the third day. He rose again, the Bible teaches, and through that, he proves that he can forgive you of your sins. That he can wash you white as snow. That he can forgive you, and you can then be righteous to spend eternity with God in heaven. You see, the power of God is the only way to gain the victory. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot do enough good to earn God's favor and to earn heaven. It's only through the power of God. And the reason I bring this up is because that's where it all starts. And it's so vitally important that people understand it's the power of God. It's not our own power. Many people today are trying to use their own power to earn forgiveness. They're trying to use their own power to earn God's favor. They're trying to use their own power to earn heaven. But it does not work that way. The Bible teaches it's only the power of God that can gain us the victory. The Bible teaches that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us. For the Bible says that it's only God's work and not our own, or we would boast about it. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Many people don't understand that because they're not taking time to read the Bible. But the Bible teaches that if you are trying to earn your own way to heaven by being good enough, you will fail. Likewise, if you're a saved individual here today, if you are trying to gain victory over temptation in your own power, if you're trying to be good enough yourself, you will fail. Only the power of God is able to provide us with the victory. And so I wonder, friend here today, do you know for sure that your sins are forgiven? Have you ever taken that first step in trusting in Jesus as your Savior for the forgiveness of your sins? Do you know for sure that if you were to die today, that you would spend eternity with God? Or would God have to judge you and say, I never knew you? And you would receive your just punishment, because God is a holy God. Some people don't like to hear that. They like to just think of God as a loving God, and God is a loving God. But God is also a just God, and he must punish sin. But he loves you so much that he provided a way that you don't have to pay for your sin. It's through Jesus. Have you ever accepted the gift that God is offering you of eternal life? It's his power that provides it. And only his power can provide us with a victory such as that. So would you trust in God's provision today? Would you trust in God's power today? And finally, would you trust in God's purpose for your life? I just said the word finally, didn't I? I have 4 points in this message. Oops. We're getting close on time. And so I mentioned God's purpose is point number 3. God's purpose. Do you understand that He has a special plan for your life? We see that unfolding for Elijah here in this passage in verses 15 and 16. We already read through it, and where God said, "Go, return on thy way." And He said to go to the wilderness of Damascus, find Hazael. I want you later to find Jehu. I want you then to find Elisha. And what was happening here was God was instructing Elijah with the next steps to take. He was revealing His will to Elijah, we could say. He was showing him the purpose that he had as he went forward in life. There are many people today that are living without purpose, without goals, without anything to drive them. They don't have a dream. They don't have a vision. And that's sad because many of them don't have God. You see, God gives purpose to this life. He gives us something worth living for that doesn't fade. It doesn't go away. There's always a purpose there if you will choose God's will for your life. Understand that following God's will for your life is the only path to true happiness. The Bible says in Psalm 84, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." It says in Psalm 34, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." It says in Psalm 146, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." It says in Proverbs 28, "Happy is the man that feareth the Lord alway." And I could go on with many more verses I have here. "He that keepeth the law, happy is he." You see, following God's will for your life is the only path to true happiness. You may be a young person here today and you want to be happy in life, but you've been trying to find happiness in a video game. You've been trying to find happiness in some relationship. Relationships are important, but you know what? People will eventually fail you, it seems. They won't add up to everything you expected them to be, but God will always be faithful. So choose to follow His will for your life. Understand, as God had a purpose for Elijah, God has a purpose for you as well. Point number 4. I breezed over some of that pretty quickly, but point number 4, I want to mention God's people. There's a final truth that you need to choose to depend upon as God wants to bring you out of a time of discouragement, a time of maybe hopelessness. And number 4, we see God's people here mentioned. You're not alone. Many others desire to live for God as well, and Elijah had forgotten that, or so it seemed. And in verse 18 of chapter 19, God made it clear to Elijah that he was not the only one left. It said in verse 18, "Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which had not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him." And then later in chapter, earlier in verse 16, maybe I have that reference wrong, but in verse 16, "And Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in my room." And so what I was getting at there is God was giving Elijah the next instructions: go find Jehu, go find Elisha, and I have some specific things for you to do there. And He mentions Elisha. Elisha was supposed to be the next Elijah. Elisha was supposed to take over. He was supposed to be a partner for Elijah. And Elijah needed that. And we see how partnership and accountability in the Christian life is very important. Somebody that Elisha could look to. Somebody that Elisha could depend upon. Somebody who would be faithful. And he found that in Elisha. So a team can often accomplish far more than an individual. And I am so thankful for the team that God has given us here at Faith Bible Church. We've come through some interesting times. But God wants us to move forward. God is saying to us today, go, return on thy way, and obey. And we have a blessed team that God has given us here that he wants to use to accomplish much. It was when David was alone that he fell into temptations and sin in 2 Samuel chapter 11. In Exodus chapter 17, as Joshua fought with the Amalekites, Moses needed partners to help him hold up his hands for the victory to continue. And they won a great victory because of teamwork. And so God's people is a truth that we see here, and it's very, very important. Being with God's people is important. Depending upon God's people, trusting one another, and working together for the cause of Christ is very, very important. More that we could cover today, but I believe that we've seen God's truth here. And so, Faith Bible Church, would you understand that now it's time to go and return? Return on our way and obey the Lord? If we don't, then God's going to have to say to us again, what doest thou here, Elijah? And I hope we won't give a pity party back to him. We need to recognize God has a work for us to do. And so if we're discouraged, if we're feeling hopeless, like, is this ever going to end? It's time for us to look at these truths as God was showing Elijah in his situation and choose to depend upon them, to trust in our God, and to go and act upon it like Elijah did. I would ask you, please bow your heads and close your eyes today as we close the service. Thank you for listening very well. I sometimes tend to preach long, but important truths here that will change your life. So please bow your heads and close your eyes, and I want to give you an opportunity to think about what God's Spirit has impressed upon your heart. This is an invitation time, we call it, if it's new to you, and it's a private time between you and God. And I want to just help you think about the things that we looked at in the Bible today and help you make some decisions there in your seat about what you will do with it. And I want to ask some questions to get you thinking. I wonder if maybe some of you here today would say that I see that God's Word has the answers. It has the answers to life. And I want... In fact, I realize this morning I need the Bible to be a guide in my life. Has God shown you that truth? Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? I recognize that I was depending upon my own strength for victory. And today the Lord has shown me that I need to depend upon the power of God instead of my own. Maybe today, God helped you to see the value of teamwork, the importance of what God has given us here together, and being a better team member for the work of God. There's much to do here at Faith Bible Church. What has God shown you?